A young person close to me was recently a victim of bullying, and I have to say, I could have turned into a bully myself if I could have got at the kid who was doing it to him. It really brought home how damaging bullying can be. Now, we're here today about another form of bullying, this time by Queensland schoolgirls. They've formed a club, and it only invites members of its choosing and excludes others who don't shape up. So I wanted to talk about this problem and how widespread it is. And I have on the line Danielle Miller, who she's the CEO of Enlighten Education, which is a wonderful organisation. Danielle, thanks for joining us. Can you just explain what Enlighten Education does?
Yeah, sure, Prue. We work with girls in high schools nationally, helping them to develop a positive self-esteem, positive body image, and really giving them skills they need to unpack what's become a quite toxic culture for young women. And I think we're seeing the young girls in Queensland respond and demonstrate their unhappiness and really, I guess, the insidious nature of this toxic girl-hating culture we live in, because it does exasperate bullying and it does turn girls not only on themselves but on each other.
How does this toxic culture develop? What are we doing wrong with our kids?
Well, look, bullying's an ancient phenomenon. It's certainly nothing new. And I was a girl at a girls' school, and bullying and ranking was well and truly alive and well. What's made bullying more concerning in recent times is certainly the fact that it is on the increase. Now, we know that adolescence is a time where young people explore boundaries and search for identity, and they ask questions like, who am I, who are you, where do we fit next to each other? But in our millennium, bullying more than ever has gone electronic. And we're seeing now some quite frightening statistics come up. Recent Australian studies have shown that as many as 93% of school students have experienced some form of bullying via mobile phones. A US study completed recently showed that up to 85% of children aged 10 to 14 have experienced some type of cyberbullying. So unfortunately, the young person who was dear to you's experience is certainly not an atypical one. Why is it that bullying is on the increase with young women? Well, I think that we are living in a society that's become more competitive and certainly more superficial. If we look at the images of women that are presented to young girls, we see our Paris Hiltons, our Lindsays, our Britneys, and they're really just train wrecks. I get quite disappointed when magazines hide behind the old, you know, we don't glorify these stars, we just point out their flaws argument, because the fact remains that these celebrities, who are famous predominantly for binge drinking and failing to wear underpants, are getting attention and fame. And the desire for fame and attention has always been very seductive. We live too in a society really where airbrushing and this all new and improved focus on perfection has just been beefed up, and girls starting to think that being hot, hot, hot and thin, thin, thin is all that really matters.
Well, I know you've called it compare and despair. I mean, that is really tragic. Why? What can we do as adults? I mean, you look at it, you see this train wreck happening. What can we do when you've got the forces against us everywhere we look, whether it be fashion, music, magazines, as you say, movies? It's impacting on these kids' minds in every way. What tools can we give our kids in terms of emotional tools or intellectual tools to be able to deal with it?
Look, that's a really important question, and it's one that I'm glad the media is starting to finally ask, because at first when the story of the young girls in Queensland and their exclusive Club 21 came to our attention, there was lots of finger-pointing and lots of, oh, these girls are horrible and what bullies and what mean girls, and I don't think there's been enough space yet for some of these bigger questions to be asked. You know, why did this happen? I mean, really, this phenomena isn't a new phenomena, and the girls are responding to a society that we've got to take some ownership of. So what can we do? Certainly schools are starting to realise that they need to engage and respond to these emerging dysfunctional behaviours. When we first started the business 3 years ago, we had 3 client schools. We've now got 65 right across Australia, including 20 that have been supported by the Department of Education and Training, that allow us to work with girls on their self-esteem in order to enhance their career and transition outcomes. So it is a challenge, but certainly there are some very smart educators and some savvy parents who are seeking out some real solutions. I think what we need to do is to take here a strength-based approach. And by that I mean, Prue, we need to really say to our young people, you are okay, you've got skills, you can do this, rather than going in with a you need fixing type approach, which will of course only get their back up. Media literacy is really important, helping our young people know how to unpack all of these messages. Emotional literacy is important. Quite often young people just don't have the vocabulary to explain how they're feeling. Parents need to really get in there as well and be part of this communication and make themselves open to discussing these issues that are very real and very pressing. Teenagers are funny little creatures. I mean, we know that their brain is still very much a work in progress. Mm. And for example, in teenage girls in particular, the prefrontal cortex is still developing, and that affects their ability to control impulses and to make well-reasoned decisions. So I think as parents, we need to sometimes stand up and say, look, I do need to set some boundaries here for you and help you set limits, particularly around risk. They may not always use good judgment, and although they might say they don't need mum and dad to step in, they often do. And I think also parents need to really set some good role models, and I hate to be the mummy police because mm-hmm. as a mummy myself, it's not always an easy job, but I fear that our young girls just can't see women who are in a good space themselves. This week, the Women's Weekly released a disturbing survey. I mean, the Women's Weekly, I would imagine their readership would be pretty average Australian mums. Mm. And 1 in 6 of their readers were happy with their weight. Only 1 in 6. 1 in 5 of their readers said that they had such a poor body image that they avoided mirrors. Mm. You know, this is just sad, sad, sad. 45% of the women surveyed in the weekly said that they would have cosmetic surgery if they could afford it. And a shocking 1 in 5 admitted that they've been told they've got a drinking problem and they binge drink.
Mm. Well, it is a huge problem for all society. I mean, we've been talking a lot about young girls, but young boys have a similar problem because I know this victim of bullying in my family was a young boy and were very reluctant to talk about it initially. And then there was the dilemma of how long do you let it go? How you arm them with, you know, information you think that's going to help them get through it. But eventually we had to speak to the school, which you don't necessarily want to do. But, you know, when do parents know when to step in and when to maybe, you know, think it'll sort itself out?
Oh, look, I think what you did was incredibly wise because when you are close to a young person, you will know yourself when enough is enough. And really, by the time you've identified that this is an issue, it has become pretty intense. Mm. If it's mild bullying, if it's just name-calling, that'll go under the radar. If it becomes an ongoing campaign of harassment, that's when it will start to come to the attention of parents and loved ones. And you do need to let schools know that you're concerned about this. Often it's difficult for schools, in fairness, as an educator, to know how to manage that because it's often happening outside of school hours. But it is still very important that the school's aware of the fact that within that year group or within that perhaps cohort of students, they need to do some more work on empowering these young people to make some wise decisions around the ways in which they engage with technology. I mean, you know, the internet's a marvellous tool, but by goodness, it's made things more complicated.
Yes.
Back when I was in the classroom just 5 years ago, I mean, if an unkind note or some bullying happened to be passed around, you could just intercept that note and bin it. But once these messages hit cyberspace, you know, they can just be global in a matter of minutes, seconds. And, of course, it's much more difficult to delete these messages once they've entered that electronic world. I just think young people often don't realise just how serious cyberbullying can be. And I think the fact that it is relatively anonymous appeals to them. Mm. So you might even have some children who really aren't usually destructive children saying things online that they wouldn't dare say to someone's face, or they wouldn't say in a public domain. And I guess there's almost this sense that, well, they can't see the effect their words are having on the other person. They can't see the pain. And so they don't therefore learn that it wasn't really a good idea to voice that. Mm. So telling the schools is really important. But also I think we need to talk to all of our young people about setting boundaries. And so when they're engaged in a conversation, as soon as it starts to look a little off, that's where you draw the line. You don't wait until it's become abuse and harassment. You set boundaries early in the piece. And I guess as adults, that sort of sounds almost obvious, but we assume that our young people know how to make decisions around managing friendships and managing conflict, and they often don't.
Well, they want to fit in. They don't want to feel like they're being the odd person out.
Well, the peer group's everything, isn't it, in the teen world? And I'm sure, you know, your listeners will have their own little stories and anecdotes of their own sort of hard times of being bullied in the playground. But if they've got young people in their lives now, I'm sure they'd probably agree that it can look a whole lot uglier. So there are certainly some challenges there, but I think we need to also be very careful about blaming, and in particular, with this news story about the young girls in Queensland, I've been very concerned that there's lots of finger pointing and saying that these girls are, you know, so terrible and such evil little bullies, where I think, obviously, in their own way, Prue, you know, they were having some real issues. Can you imagine the hell of waking up every day in your senior years of school, as if that isn't enough pressure, and worrying about what rank you might get that day?
Appalling. And we've talked quite a bit about those who've been bullied. What about if a parent knows their child is a bully?
Yeah.
How do they handle that?
Well, the interesting thing is, Prue, the research clearly shows that often children are both bullied and the bully, because there is this pecking order. And in any one, you know, day, we may bully one and yet be bullied by another. Look, if you can see that your child's demonstrating overtly aggressive or harassing behaviour, you need to call that, and you need to tell them that that's not appropriate. But again, too, we need to perhaps set some boundaries around the sorts of things we expose them to. I've been concerned in recent years just with the plethora of reality TV shows that invite viewers who are often very young. I mean, the people that are going to text into these shows are often teenagers, to rank contestants or evict them or put them below the yellow line or vote them off simply because they're not thin enough or sexy enough or interesting enough. So what sort of message does that really give to the young person watching that show?
Fabulous point.
Yeah,
so true.
And I think it's a really interesting point to then stop and say to your child when you're watching the show, hey, you know, what's that really all about? Mm. What are we doing there? And I wonder how that person feels when they get evicted. And so, yeah, there's definitely some work that can be done. But I'm certainly hopeful. I think that as parents, we have a lot more power than we perhaps realise to influence our young people. And as mothers in particular, if we can step up and show our girls what I'm okay looks like, that's a really powerful place to start, because they are often not seeing women who are comfortable in their own skin. Mm. They're often not seeing women who don't think they need to be perfect to fit in.
Mm. Well, Danielle, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And if any parents want to find out a bit more or get in touch with you, you have a website, I know, Enlighten, enlighten.com. So that's enlighteneducation.com. Danielle Miller, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Prue. And I can also just point out that if they do go on that website, there will be a link to my blog. So every week I post specific information directed towards parents and educators, resources and links, downloadables, and that might just be a really good place to start
and to unpack
and make some sense of the world.
Fantastic. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Prue.
Thank you. That's Danielle Miller.